Welcome to the. Good morning, everybody. It's 9 a.m. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Innovation Park TLH Board of Directors meeting. We have no guests, right?
Correct.
And Peggy is on Zoom. But we don't need to do a participation by electronic means, okay? Are there any modifications to the agenda?
There is. We're going to add election to the officers after the appointment of the new IPTLH board members.
All right.
On number seven, we're going to, at number seven, we're going to also add that.
All right.
Okay. Election appointment. I'm going to apologize.
All right. Did we receive any public comment?
We did not.
All right. So item number six, the acceptance of resignations of the IPTLH board members. Both Dave Ramsey and Tom Allen have submitted their resignations. And do we need a vote to approve that?
Yes.
Okay. So is there a motion?
I move to accept the resignation.
Second.
Okay, it's been properly moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? None. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that is unanimous. Okay. Item number seven, the appointment of new IPTLH board members, Michael, Heine, and Bill. Welcome.
Thank you.
Anything more formal required for that, Peggy?
You know, let's go ahead and do it. I don't think so, but it can't hurt.
What would that more formal look like?
Well, is there a motion to accept?
Can we make a motion to accept ourselves?
No.
I think that Kevin, as chair
of the RDA, he can make the appointments. But
okay, so I as chair of the LCRDA am making the appointment of Michael Kramer, Annie Marcos, Bill Lixon to serve on the board for Innovation Park TLH.
Great.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. And then the new item, election of officers.
I was going to propose that Melissa advised me we didn't just want one officer, one person to do it all. So I was going to suggest Bill to be the president and secretary, and I need to be the vice president and the treasurer. The other thing, I also need to identify terms too, and we can do that now. We'd have everybody not rolling off this board on an annual basis. I think that doesn't make sense with 1 year terms to get rolling. And so I was going to suggest the current chair's term is 2 years, my term is 1 year, Bill's term is 2 years, Ine's term is 3 years.
Okay, so discussion.
My understanding is that the term that Michael suggested works so that there's not a roll-off of everybody at the same time. The bylaws do say anybody can resign at any point.
Of course.
So
that would be removed. Right.
Or be removed. So I think it's fine.
And that was actually an edit that we
would
make.
Go through. There were no term definitions whatsoever
right.
in the original draft of the bylaws. The approved draft had referenced the term, but didn't actually have terms. So now it says that we will stagger the terms. It's given us some flexibility in the new language.
And so under your proposal, Bill would be president and secretary, and Heine would be treasurer and
vice president.
Okay. Do both of you accept those roles?
Yes.
Sure.
Sure.
Excellent. Okay, so then let's.
So it's theoretically an election. So do I just I make a motion to advance both those roles and those terms? Is that?
And I will second your recommendation or motion. Is there a discussion? There's none. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? That one is unanimous. Okay, fantastic. Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, item number eight, the approval of the draft meeting minutes. Everybody's had a chance to see these in advance. Are there any edits? Hearing none, the minutes are approved.
I kind of got nine.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we've already addressed.
We've executed nine. I think the only open item was to identify any potential new directors as well. Correct, Bill?
Yeah.
Does anybody have any names to suggest for additional directors? And forgive me if I'm wrong, but our concept was we would add directors to ultimately to get to the seven. When we get another director, one of the three of us drops off just to make room for the next director. But right now we're looking, frankly, for number five, six, seven new directors. Does anybody have any candidates? I know we're going to bring this up at the Board of Governors as well.
Yeah, I think depending on their availability, Dr. Patterson and Dr. Weatherford would be excellent candidates. And I know Dr. Patterson in particular is crushed in terms of her time commitment. There may be a surrogate that they would want to appoint from either one of those offices. And the fact that we're on the board would allow them to come up to speed rather than coming in ice cold.
I think that's a good idea. They'll do it.
Yes. And I can think of a couple people, but I think that may be appropriate surrogates. But I think it's appropriate that we have the conversation with Dr. Patterson, Dr. Weatherford first to get that.
Do you want me to do that? Do you want to reach out to both of those guys?
Doesn't matter. I'm happy to do that.
Okay. I think that's great. I think there's no. It's at minimum. It's a compliment. I think that they would both be great if they were willing to do it.
Okay. All right. Item number 10. Discussion of the bylaws and proposed updates.
Circulated everybody a red line of the amended bylaws. Just as a quick highlight, we updated these are the updates. We changed the address, corrected the address. We allowed for, in fact, much easier mechanics around electronic meetings. It didn't have to be some catastrophe on an individual behalf. We eliminated the public meeting requirements that had gotten in there. We eliminated the reference to an executive director. We defined a term, and we changed the signer from a secretary to the current chairman just to execute it. That is the changes to the amended bylaws. I plan to include a red line, just like you have in this package, with our board package to the Board of Governors, not for approval, just for their awareness that the bylaws have been changed, and these are the changes. That's why I want to share a red line instead of a clean copy. But we will need to vote on that at this body to implement and accept those amended bylaws.
Are there any questions about the edits that have been made?
No, I think we all had eyes on it and provided feedback. I would say that we will need some kind of operational policy, but in my opinion, we shouldn't junk up the bylaws with operational policy.
Good, I agree with that. All right, so is there a motion?
So moved.
It's been moved.
Seconded.
It's been properly seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. That is unanimous. All right. The item number 11, construction status.
The project continues to move along. I don't know if everybody's had a chance to get over there in the next week or most recently. It really looks fantastic. Floors are polished, lots of stuff on the ceiling. Exterior is about finished, glass is in, really looks good. Have an air conditioning issue. Really, I should say a humidity control issue. That they thought they had a solution, then they were told they didn't. I think they're back on the old solution as a temporary measure. They've gotten the city a little more behind that solution. And so I'm encouraged that we maybe have that building humidified certainly in the next several weeks, and that really won't slow things down at all. I'm encouraged by the recent meeting they had with the head guy at the city to tell them, look, we weren't trying for a TCO or a CO. This was just temporary power to make sure the project keeps moving. And I think that was pretty well received.
Okay, good.
Okay. And they're putting the lab benches in. I mean, there's a lot happening.
Yeah,
bench around. I mean, it's a lot of casework coming in.
Yeah, the labs look like labs upstairs.
Lighting's in. I mean, ductwork is in. I mean, really, it's pretty cool.
I look forward to another tour of Brisbane. Any other discussion on number 11?
Yep.
Number 12, FF&E.
We are continuing to gather lists of lists. We had sort of chunked it by category, and I described that in the last gathering. The plan is to only utilize the funds in reserve, and within that, the things that have already been spec'd will be easiest to do as a change order. The other source of funding will be the legislative funding. I would like this board to consider a recommendation to LCRDA to grant the funds directly via appropriation from TCC to IPTLH to purchase the equipment in order to expedite that process. We will need an operational policy related to purchasing. And my assumption is that we can create one that has the appropriate controls and can expedite that process. The other reason to consider that, and this was a recommendation by Dr. Patterson when she provided an equipment list, and it was also our experience when we had a small amount of money and we essentially doubled the impact by buying used equipment. She recommended certain pieces of equipment the way that they did it in their lab up in Tennessee is they went to eBay and bought a bunch of reliable used equipment. There's certain.
They went to
eBay.
eBay. Okay, that's what I thought you said, but I didn't want to.
That's right. So there is a lot of used equipment out there. Some you would not want to buy used, but some is fine. And in my experience, not to belabor it, we had an issue with one of the incubators that came in. They just sent us another one. So there are highly reputable used equipment vendors. We're getting an additional list as a follow-up, the tour we did with the FSU folks on Thursday directly from Sid Martin, their portfolio of equipment. And there'll be a hierarchy because I think that $1.7 million in shared equipment for their lab folks. Some of it may, for example, the furniture package will probably do all of that new through a state-approved vendor. So the recommendation again is to consider moving the appropriation directly to IPTLH. The other reason to consider that is I don't know that LCRDA wants to carry used equipment on its books. So the price lists are moving forward, and the additional piece would be the consideration of piping the money either directly or through LCRDA to IPTLH.
So for us to accept the, mechanically, what would need to occur for us to accept the grant?
I'm working through that. But remember, TCC won the grant, was awarded the grant, I should say. There is a process in which they can assign that grant to some, that appropriation to somebody else. If this makes sense and we think through this, we may just not, it may not come to RDA at all. It may just be assigned from TCC directly to IPTLH, as long as it's going to be used as intended.
What does...
Because we're not attached to that. Right now, we're not attached to that appropriation.
Right. So does this board need to make some action in order to accept?
When I learn the terms of how this thing works, probably.
Okay.
I just don't
know. And we could hustle emergency board meeting together.
Right. And remember, we can do them electronically. Right. We can do them over the phone. It's everything's a lot smoother to get stuff done. And I think that's really the purpose of making our bylaws as such.
And so what has to happen then, Bill, on creating the policy? What does that process look like, and how quickly can we...
I think we spin it up that there are at least two decision makers. We get a couple of quotes unless that's unavailable. Like for used equipment, we won't necessarily have a one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as, you know, one person is not making the decision and
it's not their brother-in-law, they're buying trucks.
Exactly. So I think the brain trust here can sketch out purchasing policy pretty quickly.
Okay.
The other reason to consider it that I mentioned to Michael earlier is it then capitalizes IPTLA. So it's not just bleeding red ink and it's $990 every year.
They'll have assets.
And, yeah, that's good.
Okay. Anything further on FF&E?
The only other thing, and this is probably painfully obvious, is some of the equipment, particularly the lab equipment, will be long lead time equipment. So we've heard that the furniture package is you know, that
8 weeks, again, 8 to 12, depending for most of the items. Now, again, keep in mind that we are modeled in our assumptions, as we've gone through before and we'll do again today, don't anticipate having tenants until April 1. So right now, I think everything's pretty much inside of 9 months. Of course, we haven't ordered anything either. So as we get further and further into the next 90 days, April 1, for certainly some equipment, might be an issue. I don't anticipate it being an issue on seating and those kinds of things, even break room stuff, but it could be lab equipment that gets pushed out beyond the April 1 date.
This also gives us, I think, the flexibility to shorten the purchasing timeline from an administrative perspective. I was asked to look at the purchasing policy, particularly related to special districts. And I don't know that we can craft a much faster purchasing policy for RDA that is in alignment with the state's intent and the statutes related to special districts. There was new legislation in 22 and in 2023 related to special districts, I think intended primarily for Reedy Creek, but all of the purchasing parameters are identical in terms of inability to be judicious with what's really and perceived as public money.
Okay. And so we solve that by assigning the grant directly to IPTLH?
Either directly or via LCRDA, either.
Okay.
Again, we've got to make sure, because what I left it with the TCC folks, with Jim Murdoch, was that if their legislative person thought that was a reasonable course of action, they'd be receptive to that. Otherwise, it's going to have to be really administered through TCC. And even if it is, whatever guidelines, but I still think it doesn't need to come through RDA, because again, right, as the appropriation exists, RDA is not a factor. The only reason it becomes one is if we make it a factor.
Got it. Okay, good. The item 13, the draft.
Nothing new on that, guys, and they're all kind of at what I call 85%. I'm not finished with any of those operative documents, working on the other stuff yet. I think we could finalize those in relatively short order at the time. Okay. Trying to keep them a little bit dynamic.
Anybody with questions on that? Item number 14, registration requirements for the new board members.
Ianie and I spoke about that. I went through both my previous experience with nonprofits and looked at the current registration requirements. There is an annual certification of compliance with a conflict of interest policy that we'll sign after this, and I will file. There is an additional, and we may have already done this, but in an abundance of caution, we can sign this as well, particularly since we have new officers. This is a solicitation of contributions, small charitable organization sponsor application. We do qualify for this, and this year, although next year, because of the funding from ARPA, the IPTLH back to LCRDA will exceed the $50,000 limit. And we'll also, assuming that we receive the funding from TCC, exceed that as well. So there is another form that'll need to be filed along with a financial package that we're okay with until the end of the year, and we verify that. And this is solicitation of contributions, supplemental financial disclosure. And some of that includes, do we have paid lobbyists or other folks? It's just a longer form, but these are, my understanding, are these are the forms that we need to stay compliant with our ability to raise funds. And these are all via the statutory requirements of the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services.
Okay.
So
there's nothing benign. It's just disclosures and reporting.
That's
who,
right.
And who signs all of those?
I'll double check that. All the board members sign the compliance with the conflict of interest policy. And then I think officers sign this other form.
Okay.
So we'll eyeball that after the meeting and sign it.
Okay. Anything else on 14? Number 15, the insurance update.
Meeting with the insurance guys today just to make sure they're up to speed on what's happening in the new lab, as well as our existing infrastructure for RDA, of course. We do have D&O policy for IBTLH, just so everybody knows that, which we did a while back. That was all I had.
Okay. Have we heard any more on... Oh, that's not for... well, it is for the IBTLH. Any... Given the fact that the insurance industry is in a state of upheaval right now and the windstorm coverage is out of control, do we have any idea how that's going to impact our building?
I do not. I've got lunch with Greg and Kyle today.
Yeah, given the fact that the building's brand new, it should be.
We should be fine there. That building's, it'll be expensive because it's got a lot of value. Poses a different insurance risk, I think, to the carriers than all the old buildings.
Yeah, I agree. And we may. We'll likely have another 1.5 in contents.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what scares us is the older buildings.
They're going to be valuable.
Yep.
Okay, item number 16 is the draft budget.
Yep. Everybody saw that. I walked through that at our gathering last week. I don't know if anybody, should I walk through it again? Do I just need to open it? Anybody's got any questions or suggestions in terms of assumptions that we made to arrive at the results? And again, this is the NFIL budget only right now that we're talking about.
I'm familiar with it. We have walked through this. I don't need any further explanation. Anybody else?
No, I think that the assumptions are there known knowns and a few unknowns, and the biggest one will be sponsorship solicited and gathered within that time period. So I don't know that we need to go back through all that.
And I assume we need to approve this since they're in your budget.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been properly moved and second. Any discussion on the budget? All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
That is unanimous. The budget is approved. Good. All right. The item number 17, NFIL recruiting status.
I'll give a quick update, and I can add to that. We have a couple of good candidates for the regional outreach coordinator, and we have so I think we can hire within. Those budget parameters where we're challenged is in the director of technology entrepreneurship and the lab manager position. And we have an excellent candidate actually from Gainesville with lab experience and has worked in entrepreneurship over there, real sharp guy. The challenge is that his minimum is significantly higher than the money that we have from the federal government. So what we will attempt to do is talk to the EDA to see if we can combine two positions. With the current economy for folks that can get stuff done in this area, the price keeps increasing. So the other challenge with this particular candidate is, which he volunteered through the interview process, is that his wife has a significant job. She's an assistant to University of Florida's chief operating officer, and they would want to reload here at some point. So Aini and I were joking and seriously, I'm like, okay, we need to find her a job too. So really, really sharp guy with really excellent credentials that could step in and do one or both of those jobs.
All right.
I would add, and this is my fault, the NFIL recruiting status, my intention of that poorly defined bullet or number 17 was really more members. Wanted to give up on interest in the lab, okay. And that is 100% my fault. Sorry.
Okay.
That's what I was looking for.
Okay. I'll address that. And actually, it's irrelevant since the employees will be LCRDA employees. So
that's my fault.
Yeah. I've had good conversations with folks that are interested in the lab. There was a biotech company in here week before last, and they would be sharp folks. They would need access to shared equipment and continue to get inquiries from mostly South Florida. I have a call to return. I think she's interested in the Idea Lab. There's a lot of demand out there. And University of Florida, both Sid Martin and the Hub still have substantial waiting lists. And I think we'll benefit from the fact that other labs are overflowing. And the biotech company that I met with was actually referred by University of Florida.
So with the current plan that we have doesn't have anybody occupying the new labs until April 1, is what you said.
That's our assumption. And again, driven largely by having FF&E in place so that we really have something leasable and equipment, whatever that equipment.
I assume that there's some flexibility, expecting that we have a CO on or around January 1.
Our assumption is a CO 1-1, obviously be punching out, getting equipment delivered, showing the space. Somebody might come in without, I mean, it's going to be hard. There is lab equipment in some of those places. And like Bill said, they look like labs. So there's potential for somebody to say, look, I will bring my own XYZ and I can be working here in February. Again, depending on, and again, that's presumption of delivery 1-1, right?
But actually, I think that stages pretty well to be able to tell people the building will be open in January. It will not be fully furnished.
That's right.
And for a few more months. But if there is an opportunity to move in early.
And some people, these candidates, some of these folks are going to bring their own stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the balancing act, and we'll have to figure that out, is, got an inquiry, we need 5,000 square feet of lab space. And the folks over at Concept Companies halted their private lab because they got one tenant that took 20,000 square feet of lab space. And so because of our economic development mission, we'll have to, and the counsel that we've gotten from the generous collaborators around, we won't want to put ourselves at risk by making a huge commitment to one tenant in the lab. And
okay. That wasn't the concept, right?
Yeah, and we will eventually develop graduation criteria. And some of that depends on other labs say, okay, well, if you take more than X percent of the lab space, you're done. It's time for you to graduate, or a certain number of employees or certain revenue metrics. But those will be things that we can iterate as needed.
This might not be an immediate concern or need, but do we need to develop a graduation plan, a way to help support and foster the ability for people to, after they've been in the lab for a period of time, to move to the next level?
The challenge that we have that Sid Martin does not have is they have lots of graduation space and more coming online. That's
exactly what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. So as we look at our ecosystem, we do need graduation space for high technology companies and or, you know, warehouse fulfillment space with a loading dock. So Ramon with his turbine company could use this, you know, 10,000 square feet loading dock, small office. And there are spaces down at UCF adjacent to their joint DOD facility that have graduation spaces. So it's a need for the ecosystem. With that, we would have more put through or throughput. And so, yes, macroscopically, there's a huge need for that.
All right. Any other discussion on that?
The FSU team was very impressed with the tour, in addition to the Sid Martin guys. And I do think we need to get more folks over there. They had the Alachua city manager, the head of economic development, and one of their city commissioners at the meeting, talking about deliberately leaning into this space and providing economic incentives for the companies coming out of the lab. So it's, they had a situation that we didn't have many years ago, and the major employer, Big Sausage Company, went bust. And so they lost, I think, 500 jobs. So they've been very deliberate, and they've seen the returns. They understand the value of pulling infrastructure. And so
they've also made that very clear in a variety of ways. This is a county asset, that the park, the concept of the park, regardless of who's supporting it, whether it's Brian Crawford building buildings, whether it's that's UF supporting the incubator, that this is a countywide impact in Alachua County. And the beneficiary of all these efforts are all stakeholders in Alachua County. And that's why they've gotten the whole town. And it's amazing. I think it's pretty impressive that we can get some people to go down there. And the incubator guys have the city manager from Alachua County come to lunch.
That's right.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. And a couple of lieutenants. I mean, that shows you, I mean, they're just bringing in some jokes. They're not recruiting a business. They're just talking to somebody in another town, and they can put that together. I just think it would be a real challenge in our town to pull that same thing off.
Yeah, just to clarify, it is the city and not the county.
Sorry.
And the city of Gainesville is totally opposite. They are a pain in the neck for developers, and they don't have the same incentive package. So part of Alachua's benefit is the fact that Gainesville is a pain. So macroscopically, maybe Gadsden County, you know, maybe Wakulla, in addition to Leon and the city of Tallahassee.
The graduated space doesn't have to be in the park or in Leon County, but I think it's right. Realistic and appropriate for an entity such as ours, whether it's RDA or the lab, that if you're looking at coming here in a potentially temporary situation because of the requirements, it was, and here are options of places you can go. They could be a mile from here, or they could be in Gadsden County, but I think that's really incumbent on an organization like this to help direct that traffic to try. Because really the mission really ultimately is economic development as much as it is research. And so if it develops someplace else in Florida, that's good. Frankly, if it develops someplace in Texas, that's okay. But ideally, it would be Leon County and the surrounding area.
Yeah.
That's the mission, right?
Yeah. And I'll put a fine point on that it's got to be more the economic development side than the research side, because we're
research.
Research happens.
That's our commodity. Yeah, you're exactly right. And we have a situation, which is a good situation. Claudio's company is starting to scale, and they are talking about spending $1 million someplace, and perhaps in this building, which I think we would all agree is not a perfect graduation space for a high technology battery company.
Right. But when we look at the vacant land that remains inside of Innovation Park, and with a bit of a plan to start to develop that into graduation space, I mean, obviously that's an expensive plan, but it's something that would be
a great opportunity for a P3.
Yeah.
Anything's better than the way we're using it now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that brings back to mind conversations with Kevin Byrne and the TUF team.
Sure.
TUF being the University Financing Foundation. That might be worth another conversation at some point.
Yeah, I agree. And they're at all the INBIA conferences, and I think they'd love to talk with us, to FSU, to FAMU, I think they see the potential in our ecosystem with incredible potential and upside. So I agree.
Okay. Item number 18, sponsorship suggestions.
Dave has talked to me about doing a couple of meetings, and that's been, we do have the latest drafts of the sponsorship pricing. Other than Dave, we have not gotten suggestions from the board. And I think we talked about this previously. It wasn't the intent of the board at the time, and as we look to grow the board, we may want folks that either can write checks or no check writers, because we'll be fundraising as other labs do all the time.
Yeah, and certainly when we're making decisions on future board members, we need to continue to point back, as you just described, to how critical that is to a balanced budget. There's an element of this that is disingenuous because we're showing a budget that's carrying money that we have absolutely no idea where it's coming from.
Yeah. That's well said. That's one of the assumptions.
Which is the exact reason we present it with and without it. Mm-hmm. So we're a budget.
All right. So any new business? Hearing none, we stand adjourned.
Nice. Thank you.